I'm going to hit the rewind button. It's not that I missed something along the way, but I want to talk to you about something this morning that I want us to beware of as we walk our Christian life. And I see a very good example of it here in 2 Samuel. It's in chapter 16, but I'm going to read a verse from chapter 15 to start. And I want you to be very careful as you walk your Christian life. Be very careful who you choose to be your counselors. Okay? Be very careful who you choose to be your counselors. As you look at this, the title of the lesson this morning, Brother John or Brother Jack, whoever's back there, is The Arrogance of Ahithophel. Now, this man is a counselor. He was a counselor of David, and I'm going to read this verse to you in 1 second. And this is a man that had an agenda in mind when he was counseling people. He had an agenda in mind. Now, if it was his own agenda or if it was an agenda that God put in his heart to bring down the Absalom, whichever is irrelevant. Here's the key. You have a choice as a Christian, and I cannot stress this to you enough. I can't put this in bold, capital, underlined, red letters enough. You have a choice. Can you turn this down just a little bit, brother? I'll blow this thing right out if you leave it that high. You have a choice as a Christian on who you choose to be your counselors. Now, you must understand this. The very first place you should go, and I know you know what I'm going to say. The very first place you should go is into your King James Bible. When you're seeking counsel, seek it first from God. You pray about things. You want things in your life. You want an answer from God in your life, and you expect to be able to talk to Him and bring your petitions to Him, and He wants you to do that. Please don't misread me. He wants you to do that. But along the way, don't you think it'd be good to hear from God on what He has to say? We can't wait to talk to Him, but how many times can we have Him talk to us? How does He do that? A still small voice? Yes, I'll give you that, a still small voice. But I'm going to tell you, I have a real question in my mind about, will He give us a still small voice before we listen to His black and white voice? Will He come and talk to us in a little small a way that nudges us in the right direction? Will He put your mind in a place where you're willing to hear from Him in a still small voice, but you're not willing to read what He has to say in black and white? Why would He be interested in what you've got to say if you're not interested in what He's got to say? Just a thought. I know I've said that a lot, but you seek out a man for counsel, and we run to the world for counsel. And I want you to be very careful with this next statement I make. Be very careful. You seek a counselor sometimes in your lives that agrees with you. Now, be very careful. Because just because your counselor agrees with you, it does not make the counsel right. What you need to do is seek out a counselor that's willing to tell you that you're wrong. Now, I know that this man right here, if he does not, now he's not going to beat you up in the office over it and say, "Are you dirty, rotten skunk?" He's going to tell you, maybe we ought to think this through. And he'll try to direct you in the correct direction that you can go. I don't believe there's any better counselor than a preacher. I really don't. Because the preacher, guess what? See, according to the scriptures, and we'll get to the scripture in 1 minute, just hold on to your hats. I'm trying to teach you something here today. 41-year-old boy, I understand I'm a kid, but I've got the Bible right behind me here. Okay, I'm getting this out of the Bible. I'm not getting this out of my head. Understand, the greatest counselor you can have is your preacher. Why is that? Because he's the one that's been in charge of watching over your souls. He does not want you to go the wrong path. He does not want you to go the wrong way. He does not want you to go the wrong direction. He wants you to go the right direction. Why? Because He loves you and cares for you. And there's nobody on this earth separate from your mom and daddy that care about you more than your preacher does. He loves you and cares about you and wants to give you correct counsel according to Scripture. You understand what I'm saying?
Now, you can go, and if your preacher disagrees with you, Brother Phil, I don't think you ought to go that direction. Keep looking. You'll find somebody that will. Somebody say amen this morning. We as people seek to be welcomed. That's just the way it is. You seek as a person to be welcomed. You want people to love you. You want people to care about you. You want people to join hand in hand with you. That's what we want. But does that make it right? I mean, if you go, I want to drink alcohol. Preacher, should I drink alcohol? No. Brian, should I drink alcohol? No. But if I keep looking, eventually I'll find somebody who says, yeah, bottoms up. But is that godly? But I got somebody to agree with me. I tell you what, you look long enough, you'll find a preacher that'll agree with that. But that does not make it right. Boy, you got to figure out how to get this echo off here. I'm preaching now, hear it seven times. Believe me, they don't even want to hear it once this morning. You must understand something. If you look long and hard enough, you'll find somebody that agrees with you on your music. Huh? The amen's ceased. If you look long and hard enough, you'll find somebody that'll keep you home on Saturday. If you look long and hard enough, you'll find somebody that'll get you away from the love and care and adoration of your own preacher. You'll find some faults. And that's the way us preachers work. And we have no problem telling you, I am full of holes. I am full of holes, and I may say and do things wrong, I promise you, but I love you, and I don't want you to go in the wrong direction. I don't want you to do things wrong in your life, and I promise you, if it was something I had to tell you, I'd try to tell you from the scripture long before I try to tell you from me. So why in the world would it be, well, Brother Dave must be teaching me wrong, or Pastor Skyver must be teaching. No, how about you're just doing wrong? I want you to look at this scripture with me. Be careful who you choose as your counselor. But understand this, please do choose counselors. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. I don't care how old you are. You need to choose counselors that can help you along life's way. Do you know everything about the Bible? I don't. I need help from time to time. I go to him a lot. Dad, what do you think about this? And I have him as my counselor to teach me, to help me. Listen, everything I have is from Christ, but he's been my under-shepherd. I've learned everything under his ministry. He's been my counselor. See what I'm getting at? I'm not trying to put him on a podium today. Believe me, he didn't want that either. I'm just trying to explain to you, I love to have good, godly counselors in my life that can help me to do right. And I take what they say, even if I don't like it. Second Samuel chapter 15. And I want you to look at verse 12. It's the first time Ahithophel is mentioned in the scriptures. The Bible says, and Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city, even from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. You know, we went back, and we labored over that, how Absalom stole the hearts of the people. Well, in the midst of this Absalom stealing the hearts of the people, in the midst of this literally usurpation of power, in the midst of this turning the country upside down, in the midst of stripping his own daddy, can you imagine this? Stripping his own dad from power. In the midst of doing all these things, Absalom sends for Ahithophel, and Ahithophel's first statement should be, repent, you clown, repent of what you're doing, and bring your daddy back, for he is the rightful king. That is the only counsel that a counselor could give, because who put David in power? God did. And if God put him in power, who should be in power? Him. Not that difficult. Now, I want you to turn over, but let me tell you why he called him. He called Ahithophel because Ahithophel would agree with him. He called Ahithophel because Ahithophel would help him along in his way. In his way. Not God's way. In his way. Now I want you to look at 2 Samuel chapter 16. Let's go back to 15. And Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel. Let's read that again. And Absalom and verse 15. And Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel with him. And it came to pass, by the way, that means he got his counselor. And him is walking, he's walking in front of all these people. This is 2 Samuel 16, verse 15. Now we're in 16. And it came to pass when Hushai the Archite, David's friend, was come to Absalom, that Hushai said unto Absalom, God save the king, God save the king. Now, David's friend isn't being very good right here, is he? Would you say amen to that? Okay. And Absalom said to Hushai, is this thy kindness to thy friend? Why wentest thou not with thy friend? This, it's going down right here. You got to understand something. This was David's friend. He's looking at adversity in the eye and saying, you know, I'm a chicken. I'm going to go with Absalom. Look at what this says. And Hushai said unto Absalom, nay, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his will I be, and with him will I abide. Well, that's terrible. Let me explain something to you right now. You can take that statement and put it right in the trash can. I want to be on God's side. I'm not worried about who the people choose. I'm worried about who God chooses. He uses that statement, says, well, whoever the Lord picks and whoever the people pick, that's who I'll be with. Understand this. A lot of times the person the Lord picks and the person the people picks are two different picks. Very seldom will the people agree with God. Wow, got one. Very seldom will the people agree with God. If the people agreed with God, would we have the clown in the White House we do now? I'm willing to say clown because I'm going to tell you, we've never had a worse president in the entire history of the United States of America. Never. Never. Never has there been a worse one. And I hope and pray that there's folks out there in the sound of my voice realize something. This man is a wicked, wicked man. He has no care, no thought, no joy at all in the Constitution. He has no care, no thought for the armed servicemen, the military people. He has no care, no thought for spending your money. Ever. The people did not agree with God because God would have never put that man in charge. Now, I will say this. God puts people in charge because that's who we asked for. Come on now. I'm not going against Scripture. Please understand. God gave us who we deserve. And God puts all people in power. But if you think God put him in power, but I don't believe that's who God would have picked. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now look at verse 20. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, give counsel among you what we shall do. Can I ask you a question? Is he asking God? Huh? Okay. The first person you should seek counsel out of is the Lord Jesus Christ. Get inside his Bible, see if you can find out what God wants you to know. He doesn't seek God here. He seeks a counselor. And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, go in unto thy father's concubines, which he had left to keep the house, and all Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. This is the counsel. This is it. So I understand that God's curse, this is the second part of God's curse. Remember we went over God's curse on David? I understand that. This is the second part of God's curse. No surprise that it's happening because this is what God said would happen. But understand this, the first order of business for Ahithophel's counsel is go in unto thy father's concubines. To the end that the people realize that you're abhorred of your father. He's asking you to make a split between you and your daddy. A split. He wants this split to occur. Ahithophel desires to have David and Absalom be parted. It's not over, by the way. This is just the first step, because Ahithophel knows that if he can get Absalom to do this thing, if he can get Absalom to do this first thing, then the rest of them should fall into place. If you can get yourself to split from your dad, or to split from your work from God, or you can get yourself to split, if you can get somebody to do that, the rest should fall into place. Look at what this says. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong. Now, I got to ask you a question. When has doing wrong ever strengthened the people? When is doing wrong? I don't care how many people you get along to go along with you. I don't care, listen, I don't care if there's 800 of you sitting over there saying the Bible's not inspired and me standing here, I'm staying here. I don't care how many people you link hand in hand with, I want to stay with God. Brother Anderson always used to say, me and God make a majority. And God makes it a majority, whether you show up or not. But I want to stay up here with God. I don't want to stay with the people that desire to go with God just because, or go against God just because there's a bunch of them. I don't. You crawl over there and tell me pornography is an art form. I'm staying over here with pornography is evil. So go over there and say the alcohol is okay, a little wine for my stomach. Say, I'm staying over here with the wine is bad. Wine is a mocker, strong drink. See, I'm not going to do the things that they're asking me to do just because the people are asking me to do it. So the hands of all that are with thee be strong. So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went in unto his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. How filthy is that? Come on now, think with me, people. How filthy is this act? That's filth. And the counsel of Ahithophel, listen to this now, I want to show you the arrogance of this man. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Can I ask you a question? After reading what we just read, you're not stupid people. Are you telling me that the people thought that God told him to say that? Ahithophel's counsel was as if he was at the oracle of God. God, what should I tell Absalom to do? Tell him to defile the concubines in front of all Israel. Do you think that's what God's answer would be? Do you think that the people were told to do the right thing? And here's what's sad. This is what really grinds my gears, burns my biscuits, fries my Frenchies. What bothers me is that the people probably didn't know because they didn't seek out God's counsel. They never read the Word of God. They didn't know. That's where we are in America right now today. We don't know what the counsel of God is because we don't seek His counsel. We stray from the counsel of the men of God. We stray from the counsel of the people that seek out God's face. We stray from them because there's not enough people that line up with what we feel. And because the people out there, well, Brother Dave, you ought not preach against the homosexual crowd. Eventually you go to jail. Put me in jail. I'm not going to stop preaching against that sin. Amen. That's a hate crime. I hate sin. See, that's what you got to understand something. I wasn't raised to be a patsy. Huh? I wasn't raised to be a patsy. I don't care if they were sitting in my midst. Put me in jail. I hate sin. And if I was put on the stand, that's what I'd say. This is a hate crime. You're right, Judge. I hate sin. I don't hate the people. I love them. If I saw somebody headed in front of a train wreck, do you think I would tell them to stop or just to go ahead? I would tell them to stop because I care about the people. It's stupid to run in front of a train. It's stupid to be a homosexual. It's stupid. Get mad. I am not bound by human thinking when it comes to godly preaching. I read this, and I'm looking at those two verses, and I'm thinking to myself, this is filth. But he had to find a counselor that agreed with him. Absalom wanted to do this. Come on, say amen to me. Absalom wanted to do this. He was looking for somebody that would tell him to go ahead. Huh? Oh, you want to drink alcohol? Look around long enough. You'll find somebody. Huh? You want to feel warm and fuzzy about getting on Facebook? Look around. You'll find somebody. Look around. You'll find them. I promise you, you'll find somebody that will link hands with you whether it's right or wrong. Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. Let me explain something to you. There should never be somebody like that for you. Never. Now listen, I love my dad, and I believe he is a godly man that seeks out God's face. But I don't look at him as if he's the end all be all to God's ways. And you ought not either. But what you ought to do is, if he's got scripture to back him up, if he's got the word of God behind him, you ought to say, I'll do it. Because A, he's a godly man that loves your soul and he watches for him. And B, he's somebody that inquired at God, not at the oracle of God, at God. He said, God, what should I do? How should I counsel these people? And let me tell you something, the vast majority of the time, if you've got something that you're wrestling with in your heart, and let me help you out in your life. If you're wrestling with it, don't do it. Yeah, boy, that's just, everybody fell in here just then. If you're struggling with it, don't do it. I was with Brother Carl, we were out soul winning one time, and a fella said, well, I play the drums in our new church. And I said, and it took me years. And listen, I'm against drums in your church house. Say what you want. I'm not gonna make you feel better about yourself by putting drum sets up here. If that makes you feel better, I like rock and roll music, Brother Dave. Whatever, I'm not going to put it up here so you feel better about yourself. And this man, I was talking to Brother Carl, and everything in me, I wanted to be nice and sweet because you're supposed to leave a good testimony when you're out there sowing boys hard. He told Brother Carl, you know, I struggled for months. Listen to me now. I struggled for months. Finally, God gave me grace. And now I've been able to have wonderful joy playing my drum set, and God has richly blessed. When's the last time God saved anybody through drums? Huh? I mean, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by drum beat. Oh, but let me back up, though. Here's a statement that matters. When you know it's of God, you can plug in. Come on now. When you know it's of God, you can plug in. It's true. There's not a big controversy, not a big, oh, I'm doubting, oh, I wonder. Let me tell you something. He struggled with it for 6 months because it wasn't right. But if you struggle with it enough, I promise you, you'll get numb to the sin. You struggle with it enough, I promise you, you'll get to the point where, what I'm doing is okay. I promise you, you struggle long enough, you'll make it feel okay. Making it feel right doesn't make it right. Happy New Year. Moreover, chapter 17, verse 1. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid. And all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king only. Now I'm going to go kill your daddy. You see what Ahithophel's saying? This is the counsel I give you. Now let me take 12,000 men. I'm going to go kill your dad. Can you sugarcoat what he's just saying there? Can you make that sound right? And I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all return, so all the people shall be in peace. Let me take out the rogue. Let me take out the man that's standing between you and the throne. Let me take out God's man. Huh? If I take out God's man, we'll all be at peace. Oh, this is so good. Preachers are ornery. This is the way it works. And I'm not saying David was a preacher, but David was God's man. You want to have peace? Get rid of the preachers. You want to have peace? Get rid of God's men. Because then you can do whatever you want to do, and it doesn't matter because they're not going to be crying out against it anymore. Listen, I'm Ahithophel. I'm the great counselor. I'm the one that is at the oracle of God. And because I stand here at the oracle of God, you should do what I say. You should go into all those concubines and literally do all that filth. You should then let me take 12,000 men and go kill your dad. Because if I can get rid of him, all the nations shall be at peace. They're crying for that today in America. Get rid of the evangelical crowd. We're not evangelicals. I hate that. It makes me want to throw up every time I hear it. I'm a Baptist. I'm worse than them. I'm much worse than them. Listen, wrong is wrong. That's just the way it is. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to get the people crying out. You're trying to get rid of the whistleblowers. You're trying to get rid of the people that are trying to stand up on a housetop saying, this is wrong. This is wrong. And Ahithophel says, let's get rid of the guy that says it's wrong. Let's get rid of God's man. If we can get rid of God's man, everybody's going to be at peace. I do not want to have peace if I have to have wrong. Is it right that our president is going around telling everybody we're sorry? I'm sorry that we're the greatest nation in the whole wide world. I'm so sorry. You give me some minutes, I'll bilk the people of America for all their money. And then after I get all their money, we shall be as you are. I don't want to be as they are. I'm an American. I would just rather go ahead and have the greatest country in the whole wide world, thank you. I'd rather just not go ahead and apologize for it. I'd just rather be it. I was born here. I'm sorry. I feel bad for the people that don't have food. I feel bad for the people that are starving. But let me explain something to you. I think that America does their part in trying to help the people that are starving. I would to God, instead of looking out through all the whole wide world, that we'd look right at home. I would to God that instead of looking out at the whole wide world, we'd bring our troops back and say, listen, you come to try to conquer America on her grounds, take your best shot, buddy. You're going to go home limping. See, here's what's the difference. I love America. I love what we stand for. I love what we're founded on. And I don't want the counselors of this world telling me that this is wrong, what we're doing. Get rid of the men of God, and you'll watch America go down. I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed. I will make him afraid. David? Are you going to make David afraid? And all the people that are with him shall flee. His mighty men are going to flee in the face of a counselor? I mean, I don't know if this guy's on steroids or something, but are you telling me that this man's going to make the king David, the one that killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands, the one that slew Goliath with five stones and only took one, you're going to tell me that that man's going to run from you? And I will bring back all the people unto thee. No, you won't. The man whom thou seekest, as if all return, so all the people shall be in peace. And the saying, here it is. Here it is. Are you ready? And the saying pleased Absalom. Not only did it please him, it pleased him well. And all the elders of Israel. We don't need God's man anymore. You're right. After seeing that man commit that wickedness, that should be enough to toss him off the roof that he was doing that on. But not only did they not do that, they upheld the man and the sin and the process of the sin. Then said Absalom, call now Hushai, the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith. Let me see if I can get some more people on my side. And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel has spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak thou. And Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time, or ever for that matter. The arrogance of Ahithophel was this. The arrogance was, I can take out God's man for my own end. It had to be something of a reward for him. It had to be something of a gain for him to take out God's man to follow Absalom. And I'm quite sure that Absalom would have put him in charge of a lot of things had they tried to do what they did, except God, I'm sure, would have turned away the tide going towards David, because he had always done that in the past. I'm quite sure that he would have saved David through this. We all know how it turns out for Absalom. We all understand that. But what's amazing to me is this. You have a man that is so obstinate and arrogant as Ahithophel to be able to say to people, listen, going wrong is going right. Doing wrong, and you're sitting in your pew today saying, that is so terrible. I can't believe the people followed that craziness. you are sitting in it now. In America today, you're sitting in it. Don't be surprised, because the so-called preachers out there have become counselors. The so-called preachers have become teachers, and the people are starting to have their ears itch for them. And they don't want to hear that which is right. They don't want to hear that which is holy. Holiness preaching? Are you kidding me? We don't want anything to do with holiness anymore. Let me explain something to you. That is what formed this nation, godliness. Not running from taxes. Not trying to get away from the oppression. They wanted to worship God. That's why they came here. They'll try to tell you in this day, we were not founded upon godly principles. They will try to tell you in these days, God did not form this country. Men with heart formed this country. Men with a heart for God formed this country. It's no accident that the first colleges that ever sprung up in America were godly colleges. And the vast majority were Baptist. It's not surprising that the people that came over here in sweat and in blood and in the New England states formed churches everywhere you looked. Not surprising. But through the arrogance of a few that had their own ideas, saying, I'm going to stand against what God hath said. And that's what, let me tell you, that's what it is. It's standing against what God hath said. I'm going to stand against what God hath said. And because I'm going to stand against it, people are going to follow me. And here's what's sad. When people came over across the ocean, the vast majority of them carried a Bible in their hand. That was one of their mainstays, is the Word of God. Today, the vast majority of people that have a Bible haven't cracked it in months. And the vast majority of the people don't even have a Bible anymore. It's not part of their bookcase. We don't know what God had said, so we're able to literally take in whatever any counselor tells us. I'm going to tell you right now, if Absalom was honest, I bet you he had no idea what God's wishes were, and if he did, he didn't care. The arrogance of Ahithophel was this, and I'm all done. He thought his counsel was better than God's. He thought what he had to say was better than what God had to say. Here's the scary part, and I'm all done. And people believed it and followed it. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you so much for the truths that are behind this character, Ahithophel, in the scriptures. Lord, it's frightening to me how people so readily follow a cause and they don't know who's behind the cause. It's frightening to me to find so many people being willing to be duped by the devil and willing to be duped by the ways of the world, and they have no idea what God had said. People in their hearts, I believe, Lord, know what's right. I believe they know what's right, and I believe they know inside their hearts that they have doubt and that they ought not go that way, but it's amazing to me how many people do because they can make it feel right to them. Lord God, we live in a day and age where we need more people to seek out God's will, not man's will. We live in a day and age, and this should have been any day in any age, but it's amazing how now we become so callous to what God wants. We become so callous to the calling of God. We become so callous to the words of God and what He wants us to know. We become so callous to that that we've formed our own opinions and our own ways, and they're so contrary to what God's ways are. Lord, help us to not be arrogant in this. Help us to realize that we need you. Help us to realize that we will not be satisfied without you. And Lord God, please turn this country around. I know you can. If enough people seek you out, humble ourselves, pray, seek your face, you'll hear us. We've got to turn from our wicked ways so you can heal our land. Oh God, help us today. Help us today to look to you in so many ways, but especially the way of our godly counselors. Oh God, let them be our preachers. Let them be good Christian people, willing to say what's right and wrong. And let us stop when we find a person that cares about God, and let us not continue to seek until we find somebody that agrees with us to make us feel better. God, help us today. Anoint the service this morning, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.